fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kigali, where Arsenal FC youth coaches Simon McManus and Kerry Green are wrapping up a five-day Coach the Coaches program. Their visit is the result of a new partnership between Arsenal and Rwanda, and officials are confident it will pay dividends for Amavubi, Rwanda's national football team. Eugene Uwimana has more details for us from Kigali.
Okay, so the ball can start here. He'll play into the yellows.
That is Coach Simon McManus, who is leading the pitch practical training and then the theoretical sessions that follow. 51 youth coaches from around the country have gathered to learn more about what they describe as European football. Joe Hatter, Partner Services Executive at Arsenal FC, explains how the training is packaged.
Here we've got the coaches involved. We've got 50 of the academy coaches here, and this is more about trying to deepen their knowledge, helping to improve Rwandan football.
Rwandan coaches say they are surprised by the tactics they are learning. One of them is Habineza Bomedier. What we are studying eradicates the traditional football that we used to coach. We are studying Arsenal football. The ball down, short passes. We are now realizing that we can teach our players the football as a science. Not choose them just because we think they have talents. According to the Rwandan Football Federation, this coaching clinic and future ones will empower young players and ultimately strengthen the national team. Jean-Baptiste Kambuka is a youth coach from Western Rwanda. He says the Rwandan Football Federation realizes that development of young players is crucial. The federation decided to build a national team from children who come from every corner of the country. That's why they are training us to raise our young players who are 7, 12 or 15 to be fully equipped at 20 for the national team. These Rwandan coaches have been recruited from football academies across the country. Last year, Rwanda inked a massive multi-million dollar advertising deal with Arsenal. It is a sleeve sponsoring deal. Over a three-year period, the 200 square centimeters ad Visit Rwanda will cost the country $39 million. The Rwandan government says the partnership is not only helping tourists and investors discover the uniqueness of the country, it's also ensuring that Rwanda's young footballers get the opportunity to train and learn from the very best. Arsenal Football Club is renowned for its youth coaching, and Rwanda hopes its best young coaches will benefit from Arsenal's experience of producing world-class talent. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And for Arsenal fans tuning in this evening in Rwanda and in other African countries, I know you'll want me to say, go Gunners! The Gunners of Arsenal will host the Saints of Southampton Sunday in their next English Premier League match. The Gunners of Arsenal are currently in a tight race with Chelsea and Manchester United for a top four place in the EPL. Man U is currently in fourth place with 51 points, 1 point ahead of Arsenal and Chelsea. Defending champion Manchester City and Liverpool top the table with 65 points each. Joining us now with more African football news, as well as some African athletic news, is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Egypt has chosen 6 venues across 5 cities to host this year's Africa Nations Cup finals, which will include the Port Said Stadium, where 72 supporters died in the country's worst violence at a soccer venue in 2012 after a board meeting. The Egyptian Football Association confirmed that Cairo Stadium, Borg Arab Stadium in Alexandria, and Ismailia Stadium are among the venues chosen for the tournament. Other venues are the army-owned June 30 Stadium on the outskirts of Cairo and the Suez Stadium. And now to athletics news. World champion in the 800 meters, Caster Semenya, says she's not aware of the reported $1.7 million funding by South African government towards her legal fees as he squares up with the IAAF at the Court of Arbitration for Sports in Zurich. Semenya is challenging an IAAF proposed rule change that aims to restrict the levels of testosterone in female athletes. Caster Semenya released a statement through her legal representatives where she denied that she had received $1.7 million towards her legal bill, as reported in the media this week. In the meantime, the IAAF has come under fire with increasing pressure on the athletics body to drop the proposed plans, but its president, Sebastian Coe, has defended the move.
The core value for the IAAF is the empowerment of girls and women through athletics. The regulations that we are introducing are there to protect the sanctity of fair and open competition, and that's really what we're here to defend.
We're still with athletics, as Athletics Kenya will hold a meeting with athletes representatives where a total of 48 managers are expected at a meeting on Friday. The agenda for the meeting, held once every 2 years, features athletes' contracts, anti-doping matters, and Athletics Kenya's calendar of events for 2019, among other issues. Athletics Kenya President Jack Tuwei says they will also explore how the agents and managers handle athletes when they are not competing in national events.
We want to educate in terms of things to do with anti-doping, because we all want to make sure that our sport is clean, our country is clean, and our athletes go and run and win clean.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend too. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax. Energize. Connect with great music and people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features gorgeous Pan-African music from 9 different countries. Song of the Week, Muscatela, stirs up tasty Ghanaian and Calypso flavors you're gonna love. And last but not least, my feature interview with marimba band Rio Mira will get you in tune with your Afro-Pacific brothers and sisters. So come on, peepsters, join me this Sunday at 1505 and 20500 UTC.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers made a big second-half comeback to beat James Harden and the visiting Houston Rockets by 5 points. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
The Lakers came back from 19 points down to rally past the Rockets, 111-106. LA trailed 79-60 midway through the third quarter before mounting its comeback. Kyle Kuzma, who scored 18 points, said everyone kicked it up a notch.
I think our will to win, you know, we had 3-4 guys play over 38 minutes, you know, especially down the stretch. So that's just the biggest remedy for that, just find a way to win.
LeBron James scored a team-high 29 points, and Brandon Ingram had 27. The Rockets' James Harden finished with 30 points before fouling out, the 32nd straight game scoring 30 or more. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With that win at home, LeBron and the Lakers even their record at 29 wins and 29 losses. The Houston Rockets have a record of 33 victories and 25 defeats. Now let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Milwaukee Bucks edged the Boston Celtics by 1 point. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee.
Neither team really found a rhythm all night long before the Bucks held off the Celtics 98-97. It came right down to the end. Boston's Kyrie Irving with an off-balance left-handed miss on a drive to the basket as the horn sounded. Giannis Antetokounmpo had a game-high 30 for the Bucks, including 12 in the fourth quarter. Antetokounmpo says he'll take the win despite the ragged play.
It's okay. No, it's all right. You know, we just came back from a... the All-Star break, we tried to get back on track, but, you know, we're going to go watch tape.
The Bucks took the lead for good when Chris Middleton drilled a three-pointer with 32 seconds left. Middleton had 15 points but had been quiet for most of the second half.
We went to the break with a lot of momentum, and to get this one, to carry the momentum was great. It's a tough game, nasty game, but kind of expect that coming out of All-Star break, but it was still a great win against a great team.
Irving finished with a team-high 22 for the Celtics after going 1-for-10 in the first half. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With that win at home, Giannis and the Bucks improved their NBA best record to 44 wins and 14 losses. The Celtics, meanwhile, now have a record of 37 victories and 22 defeats. Now let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Philadelphia 76ers beat the visiting Miami Heat by 4 points. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
The 76ers used the late fourth quarter run to rally for a 106-102 win over the Heat. Philadelphia trailed by one when they took the lead for good on a pair of free throws by Boban Marjanovic. That was followed by a three-point basket by J.J. Redick. The run was capped by a free throw by Tobias Harris, who scored 11 of his game-high 23 points in the fourth quarter.
In the late stretch, we found a way to get more stops than them, get physical, and be able to exploit what they were doing defensively and get baskets.
Ben Simmons added 21. Dwayne Wade came off the bench to score 19 for Miami.
Just look at the stat sheet. We did everything we could. We played, I love the way we played. That mentality, that aggression, that focus, you know, we can play that way on out. We give ourselves a chance. You know, obviously, we can always point at, you know, things to do better, but in a game like this, you know, that kind of team on the road, we play great.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from 37-year-old Dwayne Wade at the end of Michael Luongo's report. D. Wade is playing in his last NBA season, and Philadelphia honored him with a highlight video that included a tribute from 76ers great Allen Iverson. Philadelphia fans gave D. Wade a standing ovation following the video, and the Miami star pounded his heart and waved back in appreciation. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia fans didn't get to appreciate the versatile skills of their all-star center from Cameroon, Joel Embiid. Embiid did not play against Miami because of a sore left knee. Embiid participated in the NBA's Basketball Without Borders Africa camp last year in South Africa. It's a developmental camp aimed at improving the skills of young African players. And it's possible we'll see more African players in the NBA down the road With the recent announcement by the NBA and the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, to launch a professional league in Africa in January 2020. The Basketball Africa League will feature 12 club teams. For reaction, my VOA colleague Jackson Mvunganyi called Kampala, where he reached a member of Uganda's Basketball Federation, Grace Kwizera.
We are a young continent with a young population. The pool is good for the NBA, for getting fans, for the engagement, for the entertainment of the people.
Okay, so it made economic sense on the part of the NBA to expand it to a young continent.
Absolutely, 100%. Uganda, for instance, has 80% of its population under 30.
Mm.
And if you think about how many of those have effective demand to pick up a product like the NBA, this is the right place to be because the numbers won't lie.
Okay. What is the history of basketball in Uganda, and what can you tell us about the basketball league in the country?
Uganda's basketball is run by an organization called the Federation of Uganda Basketball Associations. It was formed nearly 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, and in the time it has been here, we have enjoyed recent success. As recently as 5 years ago, we are number 15 and 16 in Africa for our men and women, and then in the 3-on-3 category, we are number one for under 23 in Africa, number one for the senior women, and number two for the senior men.
And what would the NBA do for your league?
Well, we currently have an agreement with the NBA with a program of theirs called the Junior NBA. We are one of the few, one of the first African countries to sign up with them. It's a league that caters for 12 to 14 year olds. We've had it for 3 years. We are looking to extend it for another 3 years. What it's done is it's catapulted our grassroots program to give us to give kids who never had the opportunity to play at this age a chance to. Many of the schools that have signed into the program have given scholarships to these children who would have never been able. The program runs in 30 schools, so it affects, as a game, right off the bat, 30,000 children who are watching or have friends who are participating in the league. The ones who play it are a smaller number, but you would be working out at about 2,700 or so, and they have scholarships, athletic scholarships, one something that you could get at that age group before, and so that's what the NBA has done for us.
Okay. You're running to be the head of the local federation. What do you think you would bring to that role?
One of the reasons that drives me to be the president of this federation, what I'm hoping to do this Sunday, the 24th, during the election, is because it's an opportunity to influence mindsets for a young country and be able to drive them towards something that's to progressiveness, healthy living, an understanding of finance, the concept of work for pay, and I intend to bring to this game a global outlook, a relationship with both national and international colleagues, who help to collect resources to develop a game that's budding in this country and has caused this nation to categorize basketball as one of its six priority sports out of the 45 federations that we have active here.
What kind of audience do you have in relation to other sports like soccer?
Like I said, basketball is now one of the six priority sports for Uganda. We are in that pool with the likes of soccer and netball. The league here is quite robust. We have 62 teams in total, from the top to the bottom league. One of the biggest in Africa. Many of the players are semi-pro. Our champions, City Oil, a club that I manage currently, finished fifth in the African Club Championships the last time we went out. I've been champions of our zone, which is most of Eastern Central Africa, twice in a row, and that's because the culture, the basketball culture here, is a very big one and a very exciting one for an age group that is really what most of Uganda is made up of, which is the under-30s.
Has it gained more interest in the last 10 years? Have you seen more interest towards basketball, more fans, more basketball fans in Uganda than you say maybe 20 years ago?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
What are some of the reasons that is?
I would like to say that our federation is one of the most organized currently. And because it's one of the most organized, we have gotten fans into the stadium. I've been lucky to be a manager at the national team level, and the work there has given us international success. That international success has encouraged players to improve their skill set, but has also brought fans to the stadium and brought people who are interested in the game because of how well we're doing internationally to appreciate it. The work that I have done at City Oil as the manager of City Oil means that we make this country proud every single day. You have international tournaments where City Oil is going to play. Like I said, we finished fifth in Africa. We are battling with the big boys from Angola and from Egypt and Morocco. Mm-hmm. And that excites the local population.
Now, some people have said that one of the reasons why basketball is not popular on the continent is that it tends to be an elite sport, usually played by young people in urban areas. How do you bring in these young people from the rural areas who are a critical mass when you think about the numbers? How do you plan to bring in these young people into the sport?
The fastest way for us, this junior NBA program, what it's done for us, it has taken us to places that we went in originally, and has encouraged schools who are excited about the partnership with the NBA and are getting uniforms from them and getting basketballs and whatnot to refurbish or to build courts. And they have gone to places that affect their local community. We haven't gone as far as taking care of the other regions of the country. We haven't gone as far as spreading to the north, to the south, or the east, because most of it is central, close to Kampala.
Mm.
But the intention is there, and because of how well the game is being received, and how well we are doing at the national team level, the expectation is that we should be able to find partners in the corporations here to help us spread the game.
That's Grace Quizera, a member of Uganda's Basketball Federation. And Grace was talking with my VOA colleague, Jackson Mvunganyi from Kampala, Uganda. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page on this Friday, you'll see a photo of Michael Jordan, the NBA basketball great, along with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, the Congolese giant Dikembe Mutombo, and other luminaries in a group photo publicizing the new Basketball Africa League. Once again, it's scheduled to tip off in January 2020. And that wraps up the February 22nd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, an international edition for the latest from Lagos.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax, energize, connect with great music and people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features gorgeous Pan-African music from 9 different countries. Song of the week, Muscatella, stirs up tasty Ghanaian and Calypso flavors you're gonna love. And last but not least, my feature interview with marimba band Rio Mira will get you in tune with your Afro-Pacific brothers and sisters. So come on, peepsters, join me this Sunday at 1505 and 20500 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, political fallout over U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency. The move, designed to obtain more funding for a border wall without congressional approval, has prompted lawsuits and met with growing public opposition. An update on U.S. politics next on Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have recently been able to gain some insight into the creation of Neptune's tiniest moon, Hippocamp, thanks to observations made with the NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope. Hippocamp, which has a diameter of only 34 kilometers, was discovered in 2013 after scientists analyzed Hubble-captured images of Neptune. The scientists theorize that Hippocamp is actually a fragment of a close neighboring moon, Proteus, after a comet impacted it billions of years ago. Photos taken in 1989 by NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft show a huge impact crater on Proteus that scientists say is large enough that could have caused the moon to shatter. The tiny moon orbits Neptune at a distance of about 105,000 kilometers and is within only 12,000 kilometers of Proteus. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Can the United States and China step back from the brink of their trade war before President Trump imposes more tariffs on Chinese imports? We'll talk about the politics and substance of the trade talks with our special guest, Robert Daly, director of the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Tune
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.
This is VOA.